30 years ago, I was sitting in Nigeria in my own feeling sorry for myself. Sandra and the boys were at home in Northern Ireland after she had to be invalided home because of illness. And I had little or no contact, no telephone, no internet, and a very poor postal service. I didn't know how things were at home. I was living on my own with no Europeans and no missionaries around. And for 3 months, I was living in a mud house with rats and mice everywhere. No running water, no bath, no indoor toilet, and poor cooking facilities. I had a radio on for a company as I was preparing notes for the college. And I can't remember if it was a Christian radio station like FIBA or if it was a cassette tape. I don't remember who was speaking. But I always remember one statement that was said. We worship and serve an unchanging God. What a message of encouragement to receive in that situation. And that statement has influenced my life for many years. Last Sunday, we said goodbye to the Reverend Mrs. Kirk. We have now entered into what is called a vacant congregation situation. The progress has begun to look for a new minister. We have also experienced many changes within the congregation and within the leadership of the congregation. But what can we say about the future? Surely we can also say, we worship and serve an unchanging God. Someone said to me the other day, time makes changes. And there are tremendous changes throughout the world, in country after country. Maybe sometimes we see these changes and think little about them, little realizing the tremendous significance of some of them. I read recently that it is estimated that 70 of all the items in our supermarkets did not exist 10 years ago. Processed food and microwave replaces much of the cooking. More information has been produced in the last 30 years than in the past 5,000 years. It is estimated that 50% of graduates are going into jobs that did not exist whenever they were born. I heard it put this way. My great-grandfather rode on a horse but was afraid of a train. My grandfather rode a train but was afraid of the car. My father rode a car but was afraid of the aeroplane. And I ride on an aeroplane but I'm afraid of the horse. Yes, there are changes. Changes in transport. The older members of the congregation may well remember the first motor car on the roads or the first tractor in the farms. It used to be if you were going to Belfast, it was an all-day journey. Now they travel there every day to work. Or the first aeroplane that flew in the skies when everybody stopped and looked up at this wonderful sight of something flying overhead. When I was involved in Christian Endeavour a few years ago, I used to fly over to England in the morning for meetings and fly back that evening. Now we have the shuttle service between Earth and space stations that are in orbit around the Earth. Even the exciting going to the moon is something that's nothing new. What about communication? The wonderful invention of the telephone is now not good enough. We talk about email and internet. My son now tells me the email is now out of date. The computer, the silicon chip, modern technology have revolutionized our lives. Almost every week, we talked to our son and family in Spain with Skype. Whenever we were in Nigeria, we didn't even have a telephone. Yes, we're living in a changing world. Almost every day, we hear of something new or something being updated and changed. Whenever we turn on the television, we watch the crisis in the Middle East unfold in real time. Yesterday, we could watch the news of the results of the counting coming in from station after station in real time as it happened. But as we turn to the Bible, we read in Malachi 3 and 6, I, the Lord, do not change. And in Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can we accept this? Is this possible? Do we not need a changing God for a changing world? Everybody says we have to change with the times. We have to be more modern. If we have to change with the times, then does God need to change? But according to the Bible, God does not change. And so this morning, let us consider how this is so. First of all, the existence of God does not change. Many people today tell us that they do not believe that God exists, as I said to the children earlier on. Whenever you grow up into college and university, so often you hear this talk. When the Russian astronaut went to the moon, he said, I have looked everywhere and I do not see God. However, when the American astronaut went up, he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When we look at Scripture, it does not attempt to prove the existence of God. The psalmist said, before the mountains were born or brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The Bible not only presents God's existence as a fact that does not need to be proved, but goes on to say that the man who says there is no God is a fool. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Created things have a beginning and an end, but God was never created. He was always there. He existed forever. He is always the same. He does not grow older. He does not grow weak. He does not die. This is something that should make our hearts rejoice. God's life is indestructible. He cannot be destroyed. The existence of God does not change. God existed before the earth was created. And when God created this physical universe, time began. And when the world ends, time will end. Let us therefore not be ashamed to stand up and be counted as one who believes that God exists, that he is alive today, that he cannot and does not change. The existence of God is a fact that will never change. But then, secondly, we can say that the nature and character of God does not change. A brain tumor, an accident, or a sickness can change the character of a man or woman. I have seen it time after time. Have we not heard people say to someone who had some brain damage, his whole character has changed, he is not the man that I used to know. It is painful to see this change, sometimes not even recognizing their own family. But what about God? Does he change? Let us look at some of the attributes of God. First of all, look at his holiness. God is not like all his creatures, for he is high above them in sovereign power and perfection and purity. He hates sin and he loves purity. In Proverbs 15 and 26 we read, the Lord hates the thoughts of the wicked, but those of the pure are pleasing to him. It's because of God's holiness that our sins needs to be covered over with the blood of Jesus Christ. He cannot accept sinful man, but only those who have had their sins covered. The Lord says, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. The psalmist says, the Lord is holy in all his ways. Our God is a holy God, and because he is holy, he cannot change. He cannot change for the better because he is perfect and holy. He cannot change for the worse because that would deny his very nature that he is perfect and holy. When Moses drew near to God, he had a great respect and awe, for he knew he was approaching a holy God. The same God is holy today. When Isaiah had a vision of the Lord, he saw angels calling out to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. When we study the word and meditate on it, until we see a holy God. Another attribute of God that does not change is his justice and righteousness. This psalmist said, "Righteous art you, O Lord, and your laws are right." The apostle Paul said to the Romans, "Because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant hearts, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed." We do not always understand God's justice, especially in a world where the innocent suffer and the guilty appear to go free. But we can be sure that God is perfect and just in all his ways. As we read and study the scriptures, we see the justice and the righteousness of God as he deals with the children of Israel in the Old Testament and in the life and work of Christ in the New Testament. At times we are perplexed by what is happening around us, but take encouragement from the fact that God does not change, and he will reward the righteous and continue to punish sin. Another attribute of God which we should consider is his love cannot change. The Bible says God is love. And the Apostle Paul says God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God has shown his love and sacrificial love. He gave sacrificially of his own son. This is something that we can never fully understand. But we read the scriptures, we again and again see the love and the patience of God. Jeremiah 31:3 we read, "The Lord says, I have loved you with an everlasting love." The Apostle Paul said, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or hardship or persecution or famine? Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Who will separate us from the love of God? That is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Oh, the love of God is something wonderful. The love of God is still there. That love is present here today. Sometimes people say, "Nobody loves me." But we can tell them that God loves them. If they're going through times of testing or trial in their work or in their home or in their personal life, then they should be reminded of this wonderful, wonderful fact that the love of God never changes. The love of God is everlasting. The love of God is still there. Yes, the character of God never changes. His holiness never changes. His justice and righteousness never change. And his love never changes. But the third thing we can note is that the presence of God does not change. God is present everywhere, and there's no place in the universe that he is not. As we said to the children earlier on, the psalmist says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go into the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there." Jeremiah the prophet said, "Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him? Declares the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth?" The Lord is present everywhere, and surely this is a word of encouragement to us today. The Lord is in my situation. The Lord is in your situation. The Lord is in the present situation of this congregation. Do not worry about that. Be considered and remembered, God is here. He has not left us on our own to our own wisdom or to our own fate. When we are perplexed and when we are anxious, then sit down and be still and to know the presence of the Lord is with you. When Moses was arguing with God about leading the children of Israel, the Lord told him, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." When you go back to your work tomorrow, when you go back into that home, difficult home situation, remember, the presence of the Lord will go with you. None of us are left alone to face the problems. We are not left alone to make the decisions. God is with you. We should remember He is closer to us than breathing. In His great commission, He said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, and surely I will be with you always till the very end of the age." Surely then, this promise of His presence has two effects upon our lives. Yes, it gives us comfort, knowing that He is with us, that in every situation we find ourselves, His presence is beside us, and He will carry us through. But then on the other side, it is a warning to us that the Lord is present. And therefore, we should not shrink from our responsibilities. We should not seek our own selfish ways. It should always serve as a warning to keep us from sin. The Lord is present. He sees our attitude. He sees our behavior. He sees our work. He knows our words. May His presence with us help us to live lives worthy of His calling. The assurance of His presence with us should surely warn us of how we live and what we do. Yes, the presence of God will never change. In the beginning, the Spirit of God was hovering over all the earth. The same Spirit is still filling the earth. He cannot change. He is still present everywhere. He is in your home. He is in your situation. And we should rejoice and be glad in His presence. But then fourthly, the plan of God for salvation does not change. The Apostle Paul said, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Jesus said, "I did not come to judge the world, but to save it." Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. That fact has not changed. There is no other way to be saved. Man may go to the moon. He may invent great and wonderful things, but he cannot save a man's soul. Only God can do that. That fact has never changed. The need of man is still the same. Generations may come and go. Man may live an independent life in many ways, but the deep inner need of the soul remains the same, and only God can satisfy that need. The gospel message that Christ came to save mankind from his awful condition and give him new life and new hope in God. The Apostle Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's a power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Deep down in the heart and the soul of every man and woman is that desire after God. Men and women who have lived in countries where they've never heard about God feel the need to satisfy the soul. We find that when we're working in Africa. They worship spirits. They worship gods. They worship the unknown God, as Paul found at Athens. The soul of man knows that there's someone out there somewhere. And so they're searching after that someone to satisfy the inner need of the soul. Salvation is a gift of God. It is eternal life. Doctors and surgeons can do wonderful things to prolong life, but they can never give eternal life. They can never give a soul peace with God. But salvation gives us peace with God, and it gives us everlasting life. Those who have faith receive salvation. This is the uniqueness of the gospel. Everyone, no matter whether they're young or old, no matter whether they're rich or poor or strong or weak, if he or she has faith in Christ, then he or she receives salvation and eternal life.
God's plan for salvation does not change. God does not change in the saving of souls. Only God can do that, and praise God, He is still doing that. The psalmist says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place through all generations. Before the mountains were created, or you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Those are reassuring words. Knowing that He never changes gives us a feeling of deep security. We depend upon Him with all the frightening changes that are happening all around us. It is good to know that we will never be any different. God will never change. His word is unchangeable. And the way of salvation is consistently the same. The Bible, which is God's word, never changes. It is constant. It does not alter or compromise to fit in with the evil modern world. So often people want to quote the Bible to emphasize their own opinion of things. The Bible does not change because the Bible has come from an unchanging God. The Bible never needs to alter or be updated. The message of the Bible over the past 2,000 years is still the same. He has said this, and this has settled it. The psalmist said, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Yes, there are changes all around us almost every day of the week. Yes, there are going to be changes in this congregation over the next few months. But I trust that we are prepared for those changes. But above all, we are prepared for the changes Jesus Christ can make and wants to make in our lives whenever we surrender to Him. Today, let us praise God, for we serve an unchanging God. Yes, our situations may change personally. Our work may change. The leaders of our country may change. The leaders in the church organizations may change. The minister may change. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God says, I, the Lord, do not change. This God who loves you and wants to save you will never change. He desires your love and devotion above all else. He invites you to humbly come to Him so that He can save you. Isaiah, the prophet, says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. What we've heard today is very bad news for rebellious sinners. God's nature does not change. That's bad news for those who hope that God will change His mind and let them slip into heaven. I'm sure many people frequently hope that God of the Bible is not the God they will someday meet. Consider the following. If God became less holy, sin would no longer be sin. If God became less just, sin would no longer be punished. If God became less sovereign, man could take His place. If God could forget, we might overlook our sin. But none of these things are true. God cannot become less holy, less just, less sovereign, and He cannot forget anything. That means that there is no escape for the hands of all-seeing and all-powerful and all-knowing God. On the other hand, this is good news of those who want to be saved. God's nature does not change. God's attitude towards seekers does not change. That's why John 6:37 is such a comfort. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. We live in a world where we get one chance or two and then it is out. You fail once or twice and then you're history. We've seen this time and time again in political life and business life and important life. Someone fails and they're out. They're history.
But because God's nature does not change, we may come to Him at any time and be saved. This is good news for sinners who need a Savior. Ponder the words of this little verse. Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, I risk my whole eternity. Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, I risk my whole eternity. That is what it means to be a Christian. It means trusting in Christ so much that you risk your eternity and what He did for you whenever He died on the cross and rose from the dead. Because God doesn't change, we can be at peace when everything else changes around us. Your home situation, your work situation, may all change. Congregation, organizations change. The minister changes. But we worship and serve an unchanging God. Do we accept that? Do we believe that? Do we trust that? Jesus Christ is still the Savior of the world. And if you have not yet come to Him, then today you can have that assurance. He can be your Savior. Let us pray. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we do worship You, the unchanging God. We thank You that You do not change in Your character. You do not change in Your presence. You do not change in Your existence. And You do not change in a method whereby we are saved. And so we come to You today, praying that we will have that desire of coming to an unchanging God and knowing His presence upon our lives. For we ask it all in our Savior's name. Amen.